Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's third quarter 2014 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin the conference.
Okay, thanks, and welcome everyone to this call about the results of the third quarter. As usual, in page number three, we have the agenda for this call. We will start up with a financial review of the third quarter, and we will go a little bit more deeply into each business segment and talk about the outlook of the market. We will show some third quarter subsequent events, and we will end up, as usual, with a round of Q&A. So let's start as a brief summary in page number four. We can see that the revenues of the quarter stood up of $1,350 million, which is almost 2% lower than the second quarter of 2014. Our adjusted EBITDA was roughly similar to last quarter, only about a little bit less than 1% lower than last quarter. And our net income was 29% lower than the second quarter of 2014. Net financial debt was $4,182 million, which is 4.3% lower than the second quarter. And our leverage, basically because of the decrease in net financial debt, went down from 3.7 to 3.6 regarding the last 12 months adjusted EBITDA. So on page number five, we have a summary of the income statement. You can see in the first line the decrease of 2% of revenues, which is mainly explained by two factors, which are the decrease in pulp sales and a decrease in energy sales, which is caused basically by a lower price environment in the third quarter of 2014 compared to the third quarter. Cost of sales went up 1.3%, and this is basically explained by the ramp-up of Montes del Plata. So you have to remember that we are consolidating half of the results and all the financial statements of Montes del Plata, and that's a reflection of the ramp-up and increasing cost of sales. In terms of the non-operational results, we can see that there was an increase in exchange rate losses. We came from a profit of $5.2 million to a loss of $13 million, and this is basically explained by the depreciation of Brazilian real and the impact of the financial statements of the Brazilian subsidiaries that they have a functional currency of reales, and that's why in this case, the liabilities that they have in dollars, which is an intercompany loan, affects the results and exchange rate differences in that subsidiary. Then we have a slight increase in the financial cost, which is explained by mark-to-market of some derivatives that we have in our statements. If we look at the percentage of sales by segment, we can see that pulp still is about 42%, panels is 36%, and then we have some timber at 19%, and the rest is some forestry sales to third parties and some sales of energy. If we go to page number six, we are showing here the EBITDA, the adjusted EBITDA, which was roughly the same, and we can see in the graph below that in the last three quarters, we have had very stable EBITDA, a little bit over $300 million. That is showing a stabilization in our EBITDA results, which are running now at a run rate of more than $1.2 billion a year. If we look at the explanation of EBITDA, we're coming from a lower net income, but that is compensated when you subtract the financial cost, the income tax, and depreciation and amortization, and of course the exchange rate differences. And so, in terms of EBITDA, we are in a more stable scenario, and we are now in a EBITDA margin of 23%, which is of course better than if you look at year 2012, and roughly more or less the same that the end of 2013. Now we go to page 7, where we show in our net financial debt, which was lower than 4%. We can see that we have an increase in gross financial debt, and that is explained by the issuance of the 144A Reg S bonds that we did in July, the $500 million. But with that proceeds, we paid down a loan of $200 million that was due in December. We prepaid that, and we also amortized other bank loans of $53 million, and then we have some effect of the depreciation of the Chilean peso in some U.S.-denominated liabilities that we have. So that made that the gross financial debt didn't increase so much, and in terms of us having more cash available at the end of the quarter, in this case almost $1 billion, reflected a lower net financial debt. We are showing there on the graph on the right side our leverage. Now it's 3.6, so similar to the first quarter. The increase in the second quarter of 2014 was basically explained by the distribution of dividends that was done in May. But it's lower than the 3.8 at the end of 2013, and of course lower than the end of 2012, which was over 5 times. Remember that we are consolidating the liabilities of Montes del Plata in this case also. In terms of our financial debt profile, looking at 2015, we have basically one bond due on April, which is a $370 million, and some other bank loans. And in 2016, we have a $300 million bank loan that is due that year. But looking at the following years, it's a more stable amortization program and basically explained by bonds. We go to page 8. We can look at the cash flow of the company. We are showing here, and you can see in the first line, an increase in the collection of accounts receivable, but that is compensated by also an increase in the payment of suppliers and personnel. So in terms of net cash provided by operating activities, we are seeing an increase of 7.6% to an amount of $336 million. Capital expenditures are going down, and the explanation for this is basically that the end of the construction of Montes del Plata. And then you can see in the net cash provided by financing activities the effect of the issuance of the bond in proceeds from bank borrowings, and then the effect I already talked about, the repayment of the $200 million for bank loan and some other amortizations that were scheduled in the quarter. The cash end is $1 billion, and this is basically what we have to explain here, the sum effect of exchange rate differences. But anyway, it was a positive cash flow in the quarter regarding that we prepaid debt and we increased our cash position. Now if we go to page 10, we can start looking at the different business segment. We start off, as usual, with the pulp business. Here you can see in the first graph at the left upper side that we have a reduction in the sales of pulp of 5.7%. Compared with the second quarter of 2014, which we had $600 million in sales. The main explanation for this is a decrease in price of 2.6% average prices and a small decrease in volume of 1.5%. If we look over a year ago, the reduction is not so big. It's only $573 million. And we can see that the reduction compared to the second quarter probably has an effect also of the replacement of sales due to the port strikes in the first quarter that were done in the second quarter. If we do look at the production, we can see that we have a record production of 867,000 tons on the third quarter, but this is also a reflection of the production of Montes del Plata that we are consolidating here, so they are basically not very comparable with the historical values in included in this quarter, there's about 100,000, a little bit less than 100,000 tons of production coming from our share of Montes del Plata in the third quarter. In terms of the explanation for the decrease in volume, we have also a reflection of the seasonality in the Northern Hemisphere during the summer month, and that's why we see that reduction of 1.5% in volume. In terms of pricing, we saw that the prices were more or less stable. We saw some increases in long fiber and stable prices in short fiber. In terms of Europe prices, long fiber increased 1.5% and short fiber decreased 2.5% due to the summer season that affects every year the European paper companies. And I already explained the production increase due to the Montes del Plata ramp-up process that we probably will talk afterwards. In terms of the outlook in page 11, we see a good outlook for hardwood in the coming month. We have been able to implement price increases in the last month, and we are aiming for another increase for December. So if we look at prices, we already increased $10 from October to November, and we are aiming at a $20 increase in short fiber for December. In terms of softwood, we have seen stable prices from October to November, and we are aiming at probably a $10 increase for December. The outlook for unbleached pulp is not as good as the other type of pulp, so we're seeing a more restrict market and some pressure that is explained by some competition of roll pulp coming from the USA. In terms of the spread between NBSK and BHKP, now it's about $200 if you look at the index, but if you look at net prices, that spread is reducing a little bit. We are coming from probably spreads from $150, and I think that now as of November, that spread could be $135, and probably if the price increases in short fiber are implemented at the end in December, we could see spreads of a little bit more than $100, which is more close to the normal levels. And why we are able to increase some prices in hardwood, we are seeing that the inventory level in terms of days of inventory is more or less healthy, and that is helping us push some price increases in the market. So we are seeing that we could probably have a couple of months of good pricing environment. Next year will be more challenging, probably in the second half of the year, as the new volume coming from the Guaíba project will come to market probably at the end of the next year. Now, if we move to panels, in terms of production, sales, we saw a 6% sale increase, which is basically explained by a 10% increase in volume, which again is explained by a better result in the Brazilian market. Last quarter was a little bit soft in terms of sales and production in Brazil, because of lower demand after the World Cup and also because of some increases in energy prices, which restricted some weeks the production in some of our mills. So we are bouncing back from that quarter, and that's why you see an 11% increase in volume. The other reason for increasing volume is the ramp-up of our Nueva Aldea plywood mill, that we have been able to increase the production level and the sales without impacting the price in the market. We have seen some improvements in demand in some areas in the United States, especially MDF, and we are keeping the high levels of export to Mexico, basically because of some lower demand that still is in Brazil, that some producers are moving their production, especially MDF, to markets that still showing good signs of demand as Mexico. So we have been able to maintain the volume over there. If we look at page 13 about the outlook for panels, we see particle board demand staying strong in the market. Of course, we are trying to increase the sales of melamine, which brings us better margin than selling just the raw panels. On the other hand, MDF continues with relatively high oversupply due to lower demand of molding producers that is impacting the demand for raw MDF. But we think that plywood sales in North America should be positive in 2015. Some increasing competition coming from other producers have been putting some pressure in the price, but I think it should not be something material. In Chile, the environment continues to be good for the construction, so we announced new price increases, and our volume of our sales of Besto, which is our particle board product in Chile, remains at good levels. In terms of the Brazilian market, the outlook are in good levels. It has not improved completely compared to other years, but I think we are normalizing in terms of inventory, and the panel market is showing some signs of recovery. Of course, it's going to depend on the level of growth in the Brazilian market, and that's also depending on some other factors that we don't, of course, control. As usual, despite of the uncertainty in the Argentinian economy, sales of NDS and particle are stable. Construction continues to go in the Argentina, and we have been able to sell our products over there. In Mexico, sales are good with prices going up, and we have some good expectations for the future in terms of increasing our best of sales coming from Chile. Now on page 14, we look at some timber sales. Here we are showing a small decrease in net sales compared to last quarter of 3.5%. This is a mix of some decrease in volume, small decrease, and compensated by an increase in price of 2.8%. If you look at production level, it's basically stable compared with the last quarter. We are seeing that the construction sector and real estate are showing some improvement during the second half of the year. It's not been quick, but it has been more or less sustainable. So we are continue selling with stable prices in the U.S., some timber products. And we, in general, seeing higher demand and better price compared with previous quarters in the market where RICO sells everywhere, I mean, Asia and Middle East. We are seeing good levels of activity in Korea, Taiwan, Japan, Australia, and the Middle East. Sales in China remain stable at very good levels. The returns we're getting on some timber are good. The return of the capital points has been one of the best in the segments, and so we are positive about this segment of sales. In terms of the outlook for some timber on page 15, as you can see in the graph that we are showing, that the housing starts in the U.S., now we are a little bit over a million houses per year. Remember that we went down to 520 in the middle of the crisis, and everyone is expecting that this level should continue to go up steadily, not very quickly, but we should be able to get to normalized level of replacement of homes, probably in the level of, let's say, 1.2, 1.4 million houses a year. We are ending the year in Asia very positive with strong demand and record margins. However, there's a Chinese New Year, and so we have some effects that would be negative also because of the strong U.S. dollars that we have an impact on during the first quarter of 2015. Due to higher competition coming from Europe, first shipment of 2015 to Middle East could be lower in terms of volume sales, and that could be lower prices also. Central America, demand is good for wood remains stable, so the plywood market continues to develop, and we'll foresee a positive outlook for next year. So in general, we think that we should continue to see good results from the sawmilling division. This also, we have to keep in mind that this division is very flexible in terms of market and type of product we could make, so it has a more capacity to adapt to different market scenarios. And so we think that we shouldn't have any big problems coming from next year. Now, if we go to page 17, let's talk about a little bit about the third quarter events and subsequent events. The first was the official opening ceremony for Montes del Plata pulp mill. Was held in September 8th with the President Jose Mujica. This project, as you all know, was the highest private investment in the history of Uruguay. And we have been doing a good job in the ramp-up process. As the fifth month of production, as of October, we were producing at 84% of capacity. That is taking the last 30 days of production. And we are making our best efforts to comply with a six-month ramp-up process, so probably trying to get to the 100% at the end of the year. We're not rushing. We're trying to make things in a proper manner and not to rush to just to make the mark of 100% at the end of the year, but we think that we are very close to that, and we should be able to probably deliver that at the end of the year, probably at the beginning of 2015. Page 18, we are showing the impact of the tax reform that was promulgated finally in Chile at the end of September. The law 2780 was promulgated, and one of the main changes is the increase in the tax rate for corporations that is going for this year to 21% from 20%, and increasing every year until 2018. That will go up to 27% if you choose the partially attributed system. If you go to the total attributed system, you will go to 25%. As of October 17th, the Superintendencia Valores Seguros requested that the financial impact of the increase in the tax rate, which is normally shown in the income statement as an impact in the deferred tax liability, should be registered through equity. So there was no impact in the income taxes reflected in the net income, but as you all know, since we're in IFRS, probably for the financial statement that will be submitted to the SEC, we will show the impact on the income statement according to IFRS, of course. The impact should be, as we calculated, a little bit less than $300 million. That will go to net income. In this case, was gone to equity directly, not for net income, as the SBS requested. It's only an accounting charge. It has no effects immediately in terms of cash. Then finally, in page 19, we announced already that the Sierra Pine deal went off. We decided together on October 1st with the sellers to not go ahead with the buying of these three mills because we were going to be rejected by the DOJ. So the deal was off, and we didn't pay the $120 million more or less that was signed in the acquisition that was signed at the beginning of the year. As you remember, this was complaining three mills from Sierra Pine, located in the west coast of the U.S. And this decision has no material effects over the results of Arauco. Okay, this is all of what I have in the presentation. I would like to open to some Q&A. If you have any questions, please go ahead and listen.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we pull for questions. And our first question comes from Caro Lukatec with Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead. Mr. Caro, your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, Jose Luis and Mene Jose. Thank you for the questions. I have two quick questions here. The first one on pulp prices. You mentioned you already implemented the $10 for hardwood and expect another 20 in December. For softwood, could you just repeat the figures that you expect and then what you just implemented, if possible? We missed those numbers. And also, my second question, looking at panels, you commented that in Brazil demand has somewhat improved and you have more normalized inventory levels at this point over the chain. Could you please comment on prices in Brazil? We heard some competitors were already removing a part of the discounts implemented over the second and third quarter by everyone, you guys included. We just wanted to know if that was in fact happening from your side also. Is it for the entire line of products? Just to have an idea how the market is here. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yes, in the, regarding the softwood pulp prices, we had stable prices for October and November, and we are announcing a $10 increase for December. So going probably to $710, something like that, to December. We're talking here China, but China is probably the leading market, and the other markets like Europe tend to follow the market afterwards. Regarding the panels in Brazil, yes, the market has recuperated a little bit, and we are showing better volumes. I don't have information about prices in general. I only have information about better volumes. Probably the first thing you get some volume, and then you are able to increase some prices. And probably it makes sense that you are taking out some discounts that you put in order to recuperate some volume. But I don't have exact numbers about the certain price increases in Brazil, but we are seeing better environment in terms of demand in Brazil. Not enough to make a whole better year than the years we had before, but because we were showing increases in volume and demand of more than 10% every year, and this year probably will not be as good as those because of the bad half of middle of the year that we had in after the World Cup. But as I told you, I don't have exact price numbers to give you at this time.
Okay. If I may, just one more question. How much tonnage do you expect in 2015 of Monte del Plata? Sorry, in 2014 of Monte del Plata, considering, you know, what you just mentioned of ramping up by the end of the year or maybe very early 2015, how much, in addition to 100,000 tons we already saw there, to your stake. What else should we see in the fourth quarter?
Well, if you take 100% of production is about 108,000 tons for the whole mill. That is more or less the capacity of the mill. If you take it 1.3 and divide it by 12. So that is the 100%. So if you see that we are at 84 and going up to 100, you can make more or less a calculation of the volume that we could make in November and December. So I think that probably the mill will be at 2014, probably a little bit over 500,000 tons. And of course, in 2015, we'll try to make 100% of capacity, which is 1.3 million tons. But it will depend how we start the first month of 2015.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you.
The next question comes from Roy Yakulik with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question regarding the tax item, which I understand this becomes a deferred tax. That's not an actual liability that we would include in debt and to be paid in installment. It's just some accounting measure that hits deferred taxes and then shareholders' equity, or really how is it accounted for?
Yes, it's only an accounting measure. It's not a liability that you have to pay in installments. It's only you're expressing the temporary differences between financial accounting and tax accounting that you have, you know, in your balance sheet. So it's only an accounting measure.
Okay, perfect. And then when does the Montes del Plata mill begin to generate EBITDA?
I think that probably, of course, next year. I mean, this quarter, of course, was minimal, and we are generating positive EBITDA, but it's very, very small at this point because we haven't reached the total capacity. We're taking the bottlenecks out, and the cost is not at potential at this moment. And also, we are in a very low environment of prices, so we are in the worst of the part of the ramp up. So, but we expect that next year we could deliver EBITDA because we're going to have lower cost of production as we are close to 100% production capacity.
Can you disclose what the break-even point is in terms of EBITDA for pulp prices?
No, I don't have that information.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Chelsea Consco with TIAA Cref. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thank you for the call. I just have two questions. The first one is regarding the Sierra Pine situation. My understanding is that one of Sierra Pine's mills was closed when you were in the process of kind of merging your operations. And my question is, will that mill be reopened now that you are no longer acquiring those mills? And then my other question is regarding the MAPA project. What's kind of the update on that? I believe there were some environmental issues or community issues before, which kind of delayed the decision-making process on that project.
Okay, thank you, Chelsea. Regarding the closed mill by the sellers, we don't know. I mean, it's up to them what they're going to do with that mill. They close it by their decision, so it's not our decision right now if they want to reopen it. And I can tell you anything about it. Regarding MAPA, yes, we are now in the Supreme Court. I mean, we won in the appeal courts of Concepcion. But the community is complaining about the process of went to the Supreme Court. So we expect to have an opinion by the Supreme Court probably soon, in the next, let's say, month, and then we can decide how we advance in the project. But at this moment, we are waiting for that decision in the Supreme Court, and we are optimistic because we are very confident on the things that we did properly, but we have to wait for the Supreme Court decision at this point.
So if you get a favorable decision, then when should we expect the project to be decided upon by the board?
We have to wait for that and submit to the board, but probably it's not going to be this year. So let's say probably next year we make a decision. I would say I hope that we can get soon a decision, but looking at the month that the Supreme Court takes, and since that we have to analyze again all the data, all the tax impacts, and this is a very important decision. We're talking here more than $2 billion of investment, and so we have to take it carefully, and I think that probably will be sometime next year.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question comes from Philippe Goossens with MUFG. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Gianfranco. Thanks for taking my questions here. Actually, I have two this morning, if I may. The first one, given your focus on debt reduction and deleveraging now that Montes del Plata is completed, would it be your intention to repay the April 15 maturity from cash in hand, since you have about $1 billion right now, or would you still think about refinancing that in order to lock in still very low rates in the international markets?
Yeah, it's our intention to pay it with the cash that we have at hand. That's why we did the bond, and we announced that the part of the proceeds were going to for that, and so we were expecting to pay the $370 million in April. I think that we won't need any refinancing with 2015, except if we go ahead with the MAPA project. And that, of course, is another scenario in terms of requirements of cash. And with that, probably we will make some mix of bonds, debt coming from ECAs and probably some equity that we have to decide. But if we don't go ahead with the MAPA project, we have the financing necessary to go to with our own proceeds from operations and the cash at hand to go to 2015 without refinancing.
Okay, and then my second question, you mentioned perhaps a little bit softer outlook for prices for hardwood in the second half of next year as Guaíba 2 comes online. Sorry, any update in terms of potential consolidation in the Brazilian market? I mean, I think Fibria is getting close to a point that they need to decide, I guess, what to do with the potential investment in Três Lagoas 2. Still people talking about El Dorado. Just kind of curious what your view is. I don't want you to speculate, but just kind of what your view is. Is there a decent possibility for consolidation, or most likely Fibria will go on its own, because obviously that will have an impact on future prices?
I don't have any idea. I mean, it's their decision at the end. All these things are secret, and you know that we don't have any information of potential consolidation going on in the Brazilian market. I will guess that the Brazilian BNDES bank will be very happy to see some consolidation because they have interest in not only debt but equity in most of the Brazilian producers, and they want to restrict their funding as the fiscal deficit is widening in Brazil. So I will guess that they will be happy with the consolidation. In our case, it will be better also for us if they consolidate, because I mean they will probably postpone some of the projects that are aiming to do in the future. But I mean, I have to be honest here. I don't have any information about some consolidation. There's always rumors going on, but I don't have any more information that you will probably have.
Okay, thank you very much, and I fully agree with your assessment that consolidation would be very supportive for the pricing environment. So let's see what happens. Again, many thanks, Gianfranco.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please hold again while we pull for questions. As there are no further questions, this concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks. Thank you for attending the call. We will have our final call for the results of the end of the year, probably during March 2015. In the meantime, if you have any doubt, please don't hesitate to contact us by email or by phone to our investor relations team here in Santiago. Thanks for attending the call.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.